My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The commish, Josh Pate, every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday.
Oh, man, you were hitting the panic button yesterday. I was wondering how much he was hitting the panic button, too, because he's eyeing your duckies.
I saw him talk about it on Sunday. I think he's similar in my line of thinking. He's the host of the Josh Pate College Football Show. As I said, every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, 5 o'clock, live on YouTube, the podcast as well, at Josh Pate, CFB. On Twitter. Josh, you do something. First off, good morning. It's always great to catch up with you. You do something on the show that I quite enjoy, and you had another one last night, the Sarah McLachlan special. And this was attributed to Boston College and Florida State, because that was a pretty depressing game for the Seminoles on Monday night. There was a part of me being in Eugene watching Oregon and Idaho thought this could be a Sarah, like, am I heading for a Sarah McLachlan special? Has a winning team ever gotten one? Did you consider doing it? And how panicked should I be?
I didn't consider doing it. That doesn't mean it can't be done. As Meemaw always said, there's a difference in what can't happen versus what just hasn't happened. I was surprised by that one. About 3 or 4 times a year, I don't know if you guys ever experienced this, but we'll be at another game or you'll be watching another game or whatever, and you'll see a score pop up, and you just assume it's a typo, so you just go on about your business. And then you see the score again, maybe somewhere else, and it's the same thing. And you say, hold on a second. And then you flip over, and sure enough, Oregon's up by 3 on Idaho late in the game. And you're wondering, what happened to Dylan? And then you see, oh, he's playing. Nothing's wrong with him. What's going on? And then you slowly start to make sense of it, which it makes no sense. And you're saying, is this really Oregon? Surely it can't be. So that's why I didn't think I'd have Oregon-Boise State circled in week 2 as a must-watch game for me.
Yeah.
But here I am. I'm looking at the sheet of paper, and I've got Oregon-Boise State circled as a must-watch game.
Well, it was interesting because I was watching Oregon State, and then I had the Oregon game on my iPad, and I kept looking down. I'm like, dude, what's going on here? This doesn't make any sense. And so I kind of had the same feeling. What do you chalk it up to? Because we see teams have slow starts. Ohio State wasn't necessarily destroying Akron to start their game. Michigan struggled with Fresno State. Oregon came in with a lot of hype, a lot of optimism they could maybe compete, if not win a championship. What was kind of your takeaway from maybe seeing what you saw against Idaho? Of all the teams, Idaho.
Well, it's always trust but verify in college football. When you have as much roster churn year in and year out as we do, and when the players are as young as they are, it's always trust but verify. And we think things in spring and media days and fall camp. We all think things. You got to make sure it's true. So with Oregon, I thought they'd have a pretty good offensive line. They haven't so far. Doesn't mean they can't, but they haven't so far. I know the injury didn't hurt or didn't help, but they, in week 1, couldn't run the ball. And I think the most glaring thing to me was they certainly didn't go into Idaho wanting to set a new or tie a new program record for pass completions. But they did out of necessity. Because not only couldn't they run the ball, they had to try and win the game late. They had to make sure they didn't lose the game outright. And so there's Gabriel going 41-47, which is tying a program record set in the mid-90s by who knows who. And so then week 2, okay, so forget week 2 for a second. Then you back up, and you listen to Lanning in the postgame, in the locker room there, and he's talking about how you don't have to lose to learn a lesson. Learn a lesson from this. And there'll be a lot of folks, as you get removed from the game a little bit and you get your sanity and faculties back about you, you'll think, all right, well, we've seen teams overlook inferior opponents in week one before, and we have. And maybe that's all that happened here. My point is, if that's true, then they will boat race Boise State this weekend. So I'm happy to leave it there. Like, they dropped a little bit in the JP poll, but that's okay because it doesn't matter this early in the season. But if we were right in the preseason, or if we were wrong and week one was really true, we'll start to find that out this weekend.
Yeah, it's funny. The 4 days ago, it didn't seem like Oregon-Boise State was going to be a can't-miss game, but now it has that feeling on Saturday night down in Autzen. Josh Pate, our guest, at Josh Pate CFB, one of our favorites, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, 5 o'clock live on YouTube for the college Josh Pate College Football Show. You can also check the podcast, which is a must-listen if you're driving down to a game this weekend. I want to ask you on two teams that I thought maybe opened some eyes that are trying to fix one of their glaring issues, and it felt like they both made an inroad there. If I had to ask you to buy stock in USC's revamped defense or Penn State's revamped passing attack, which struggled in bigger games last year, which stock would you be higher on 1 week into the season?
Well, I call my investment guy down in Birmingham, which is the heart of commerce in the South, by the way, and I would say, I want you to diversify my portfolio. I want you to get me on a little bit of both of them. You can go 70-30 either way. I was stunned. I wasn't stunned at Drew Aller. I think highly of him. Mm-hmm. I was mildly to moderately stunned that USC defensively was able to do what they did. Because think about this. I think Nussmeier played a pretty good game, played a really good game for LSU. And they held him to 20. And they, I mean, when's the last time USC in a big game needed less than 30 to win? That's just wild. You can go back to Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma, and that's a wild thing to think about conceptually. And so this is the worst they should have looked, guys. Like, defensively, even if he made the right hires, even if D'Anton Lynn was the right guy, it was going to take a while. So you should look the worst you're going to look early on, and they looked really good. So I believe in that. But I also believe in Penn State's offensive evolution, if you want to call it that. One game sample size, yes, everyone understands that caveat in week two, but they went, and for those unfamiliar, everyone's familiar that they could not stretch the field to save their lives in big games. They hadn't been able to for a while. Penn State's offense has been bad in big games. And so against Michigan and Ohio State last year, they couldn't do anything. They went to Kansas, and they got Andy Kotelnicki, the offensive coordinator, who was close to leading the country in a lot of the explosive play categories last year. And I was talking to some NFL scouting types in the spring and the fall camp season when they went to Happy Valley to see them practice. And all the NFL guys keep saying the same thing. They keep saying, do not sell on Drew Aller. Keep that stock. Do not sell on him. He's good. He's the real deal. They just had him saddled in the wrong offense. So I just tucked that away. All right, in week one, there they are, stretching the field. I mean, they had more, I can't remember the stat, but they had about half as many of a certain kind of explosive play in one Saturday as they did the entire season last year. So same thing with Oregon, but in the affirmative. Now we got to watch Penn State. They got Bowling Green this week. They should blow them out, but they're going to start getting into conference play. You'll start to get tape on this new offense, and then we'll see, because the best quarterbacks, you don't really adjust to them a whole lot. Like, you just have to go beat them. And we'll see if Penn State is that. I believe in both of them. It's a cop-out answer, but I believe in both of them.
I think it's tough when you see teams play run-of-the-mill, no-name programs, and they end up winning comfortably, right? Like, Ole Miss scores 76 points this weekend. I couldn't for $100, I think, tell you who they played. I've already forgotten about it, but they took care of business. You may have gone into the season thinking, Georgia, everybody else. Do you feel that way, or did you feel that way going in, and do you feel that way now after seeing what they did to Clemson despite Nico and Tennessee looking really good, DeBoer and Alabama taking care of Western Kentucky the way they did? I mentioned Ole Miss there, maybe Ohio State taking care of Akron in the second half. Do you feel like it's Georgia and everybody else at this point, and did you come in the year feeling that way?
I did not come into the year feeling that way. I lean a little bit more that way at the moment, but people have to understand something. So like I put out the JP poll last night, which is just a power rating, and I have right now about a 4-point gap between Georgia and the next best team, which is Texas. And that means there is a noticeable gap, at least on a neutral field, between those two teams, which you can take that for whatever it's worth. But here's the important follow-up. they play that number two team on the road. They play the number four team, Alabama, on the road. They play the number nine team, Ole Miss, on the road. So there are three road situations against teams that can compete with them or match them that they've got coming. Not to mention, they play Tennessee later in the year. And so I think Georgia is noticeably, right now, the best team in the country. And again, for whatever that's worth in week two. But I do not think their path is nearly as workable as some of these other teams. So I picked them to be the number one team in the country and not to make the SEC championship game. As of the moment, I'm standing beside that. If they had Texas's schedule, they'd be a shoe-in to play in Atlanta. But they don't. So I don't think they're a shoe-in, despite the fact that I think they're the best team in the country right now.
Can I follow up real quick on that then, Josh? What is, if they don't reach that point, because we all, I think, out west are like, oh my God, they're going to do it again. What is the weakness to you when you see Georgia stopping them short of that?
There isn't one. Relatively speaking, their weakness is they don't have high-level edge rushers. They don't have guys that can collapse you on the interior. You could probably run the ball on them effectively if you have a high enough caliber run game. They're young in the secondary, but they're ultra-talented. All those dudes who are young are five-star young. So those are relative weaknesses. But I say relative in that those would be strengths for, you know, the number 23 team in the country. So there aren't glaring red flags anywhere, but they probably also don't have the competitive depth they've had in years past, but that's the same with everyone, because what the portal does to these elite teams is it doesn't take their starters, but what happens is there's going to be someone desperate enough out there to go offer the second string outside linebacker at Georgia $200,000.
Right.
And Georgia's not going to match that, and so they're going to let him walk, and they're going to be mad about it, but they're going to say, we're not overpaying for a guy who's not even a starter here, and so you're exposed. So the biggest weakness for all these teams that's hidden right in plain sight is they're one injury away from being way more vulnerable than they used to be when they had injuries.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We'll see how the expanded playoff affects that, too, with all the extra games towards the end of the year. Josh Pate, our guest, at Josh Pate CFB on Twitter. We'll give him a follow. His show is every Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday, 5 o'clock live on YouTube. You can catch the podcast as well, wherever you get your podcast, the Josh Pate College Football Show. You joked about it last night, and I got a good chuckle out of it. Florida and Florida State are going to play at the end of the year, and trying to envision what that game is going to look like, it does make me laugh. How many combined wins will we have between those two teams in the last week of the season? And just what the hell is going on down there, man?
Where do we even want to start? Like, which one would you like me to start at?
Has there ever been a more I know this is a dumb moment of the, you know, prisoner of the moment question, but seeing the not only losing to an in-state rival for Florida, Mario doing what he did, and then the videos that you had on your socials as well as other places of the players talking to the Florida recruits on their way off the field, like that's like, you know, beating you up and stealing your wife, man. That had to have been as demoralizing a loss as we've seen in a while.
It was a slap in the face. It's tough, and you got to stand there while they do it, too. So a couple of things here. Florida had about as big a contingent of official visitors as I think they've ever had at a game. They had circled this one. This was their moment. This was their stage, and they just got undressed in front of their home crowd. The place was basically empty except for Miami fans in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
And the recruits are still there, and that video, those videos you're seeing circulating, that tunnel is Miami's tunnel, and it's also the only access point for media. So everyone sort of gathered in that place, which is the worst place imaginable because Miami's about to come off the field in front of all the recruits, and everyone's got an iPhone up. And there the Florida staffers are trying to tell their recruits, go away, and trying to tell Miami players, don't talk to our kids, which, of course, exacerbates the situation. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that's winnable at this point for Napier. Good dude. I just don't know how it's winnable. And then at Florida State, different situation. It's not a hot seat situation, but it may be a team that just he can't flip the switch on. Mike Norvell can't flip the switch on. And he's realizing today what I think a lot of other people are realizing, and that is the portal is really feast or famine, and if we're a major program who's going to sustain long-term, we've got to build through high school recruiting. Okay, so I timed myself, and I just said that to you guys in 11 seconds. That's how easy that was. However, if you're Mike Norvell and you realize the same thing, that's like a multi-year process yeah. to really get your roster fully fortified through high school. Well, he's been there 5 years now. You know, so he's coming off an undefeated season last year. They won the ACC, so it's a weird situation in that there's no hot seat talk, at least not from anyone with a brain. But are we also talking about completely overhauling the way we do things half a decade in? Like, that's very atypical. But in these portal times, as Meemaw would call them, in these transfer portal ages, maybe that's what has to happen occasionally.
So I really enjoyed that part of your pod last night. In fact, it was probably my favorite section because I'm watching Florida State play and getting boat raced by Boston College. And like I wish no ill will towards him, but like I watched DJ up close personal last year, and I was never going to buy Florida State because he was their quarterback. I think we've seen that story before. You talking about the portal is interesting to me. So you kind of hit on it there. We saw it with LSU last year where Brian Kelly hits the portal and the season's about to start and he goes, I don't know about my secondary. And we saw that. The secondary sucked. We see it with Florida State. What have we learned collectively? What do you think these coaches are learning so far? It's a few seasons in. What's the appropriate portal to natural high school recruiting percentage breakdown for a really high-end quality roster and what these coaches are learning about using the portal?
Well, I think it's the same ratio as dinner to dessert. You don't live off dessert, but it seems like it'd be fun. The prospect of just eating ice cream all day, it sounds great. Now, of course, you're going to have, you know, heart congestion and crippling amounts of type 2 diabetes about yourself not too far down the road, but it sounds good. It's the same way in the portal. Think about the difference in the concept of going and recruiting a defensive end, having him in your program and strength and conditioning and nutrition for 2 years, and he's a spot player his sophomore year, but junior year or his third year, that's really when he starts. You could do that, or you could see a dude tearing it up at Michigan State on a bad team, and you just go pay him $750,000, and he starts for you next year. Well, the latter seems a lot more workable. That's really fun because that's the quick way to success. But the problem is that dude's been gone. In 12 months, he's on campus, and he's gone. And you didn't do anything to fortify your program. You just fortified that year's team. But you don't run a team. You run a program. And so long-term, the compounding effect of that is if you don't have guys that you went and evaluated and recruited and had relationships and convinced them to buy into your way of doing things and then brought them in and worked them through your way of doing things, your culture, your systems, et cetera, you don't have a firm foundation. I mean, it's a house versus apartment. Like, do you own it? Do you rent it? It's the same thing with dinner and dessert. You ought to be living off of high school, and you ought to be supplementing cherry on top style with guys out of the portal. That's what Ohio State just did. That's what Georgia does. That's what Bama does. Texas leans a little more portal, but when you go to Austin, they almost bristle at talking about the portal. They want to talk about high school recruiting because they believe in that as well as their primary approach. They just got a little more money to throw around in portal. Oregon, same way. Watch and see. They've made a lot of headlines in portal. Long term, they'll back off that thing a little bit more, and they'll lean high school recruiting, which they already do, more and more. And the big boys who are at the table every year will have that profile. And every year, there'll be a Florida State in the room that just happened to nail it any given portal cycle, and they'll fool everyone into thinking that's the way to do it, and then they'll be gone the next year, and then you'll be reminded, oh, no, it's not.
That's right. Yeah. What did Saban say on game day this weekend? Pay the right guy or your ass out of luck, basically.
Yeah, $20 million for your roster.
A lot of teams learn that the hard way. Well, I follow on the socials, so I saw the great content from Gainesville on Saturday. Even though, you know, Mario's still a controversial figure in these parts, it was hilarious to see Florida fans go through what they went through. You're going to be in Ann Arbor, Michigan, so remind people where they can find the socials. And then I've never been to Ann Arbor, Michigan. Oregon is going there this year. I won't be at that game, but hope to make that trip at some point. What do we make of the atmosphere? In the easily the biggest game of the weekend in Texas and Michigan.
Oh, yeah. And I'm a kid from rural Georgia. So growing up, Michigan was, it might as well have been the North Pole. There was no way I was ever going to be able to go up there. So, I mean, this is, what, the fifth or sixth time I think we've been to a Michigan game in the last few years. That place is awesome. All of those sort of cathedral-type places, they're really old. There's normally only one access tunnel. That is the case here. And what I'll do, like if you follow on the Instagram channel, which is still at Late Kick Josh. Negotiations are ongoing for the new handle. But if you follow over there, what I do is I'll get there early. I'm there throughout the game. I'm there on the sideline. I try and give people as good a behind-the-scenes look at these different college football venues and game days as I can, because we get to see, you guys know this, you get to see a lot of vantage points and perspectives that normal fans would not see on the game broadcast or in the stands. And so that's just a little bonus thing that we do. Anytime I go to a game, I figure if I'm there and if I can see it, you might as well be able to see it too.
Yeah, it's going to be fun this weekend. Josh Pate, one of our favorites, every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, the Commissioner of College Football is live on YouTube with Josh Pate College Football Show at Josh Pate CFB on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Serious congratulations, man, on all the stuff and the moves you made behind the scenes, the ownership stuff. As people in the industry, we've seen that, and it's awesome to see somebody win like that. So congratulations on all the changes. Thanks as always, and we'll chat again next Wednesday.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.